Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. We have a great show for you today. We've got Dr. Beisner, who is with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Tremendous website, tremendous material. You've got experts that I can't even number associated with this ministry and this organization. I look forward to really talking through this with him. And then on the second half, we have Carrie Adams Woodruff, who is the executive vice president for the Foundation of American Christian Education. So, as you know, education is my number one priority since my doctorate is in Christian education and my master's is in theology. So combining those two to help educate the people is what I'm really about here on this show. So we will be right back after this break.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Please visit me, Dr. John Diamond, at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. As I mentioned earlier this week, we are starting an online Bible college.
The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution.
That is just something that we're getting ready to launch.
Transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault.
And then I have my three books over there. One's called Unifying the Body of Christ, which talks about John 17 when Jesus prayed that we would be one. That is something that is going to be a prayer that is going to be answered eventually, because the Father is not going to let that prayer from his Son go unanswered. And then I also have two other books, An Appeal to Heaven, which is a proper relationship between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. And then my Rise of America, Fighting the Next American Revolution, was the book I wrote in 2006, trying to warn everybody of where we were heading as a nation. So primary occupation, theologian, secondary constitutional scholar. There are people out there that are much well-versed in the Constitution, but I do have enough of a working knowledge of it to relate that between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. And that's something that I think we have lost a lot of. So before we get started, I do want to remind you, Dr. Alan Keyes is available for speaking engagements. He's finalizing his book, and hopefully we can get him out here on a speaking tour sometime this year. He operates primarily out of either Tennessee or Maryland area. So please reach out there at imtb.us. Let me go ahead. I want to read the scripture verse that I kind of had on my heart this morning, and it really goes a lot with our first guest. If we can put Colossians 1:16 on the screen there. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And one of the things that, you know, if you followed this show, and I've been teaching this for 20 years, is how much the teaching of evolution actually deteriorates people's faith. And then we send our kids into the public school and then they get this force fed down their throat. I had a guy on yesterday that said, a pastor up out of Buffalo who has X website that we talked about. And he said the public schools have become nothing but the youth group for the devil. And if you understand the teaching of evolution, if you understand critical race theory, if you understand transgender study, if you understand anything, you understand what our education system has become. So we really need to find alternative means of education, and we need to find experts in that. I am not an expert on certain things, but I do know many who are, and that's why I have them on this show. So our first guest is Dr. Beisner, who is with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. I want to show a real quick video, if we have that queued up, on the fact that there is no difference, there is no controversy between science and theology. Can we go ahead and play that, please?
People do indeed think that there's a conflict between science and faith.
I was once asked by NBC 10 reporter once, you say you're a Christian, how therefore can you be a competent scientist?
Fundamentally, there's no conflict between Christian theology and science.
Being a scientist means to focus on truth and to get at what is there. And being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that you have to believe fantasy and that you can't look at science.
God was the inventor of science. God invented mathematics, he invented logic.
Be a true Christian means you have to believe and understand what we are being taught through the Bible and through God's Word.
The book of nature and the book of scripture were both written by the same author, and they will not be in conflict when properly read and understood.
Well, that is such a powerful truth right there, that both nature and theology was written by the same author and there will be no conflict. One of the courses I have coming up in our Bible college is a hermeneutics course that shows that there are no contradictions. There's just ignorance of one side or the other, which really leads to what would appears to be a contradiction. So, Dr. Beisner, I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's a real pleasure and a privilege to be with you. And I hadn't known in advance that you were going to show that clip, but I'm delighted that you did, because the Cornwall Alliance is all about bringing biblical worldview, theology, and ethics to bear, together with excellent science and excellent economics, on issues of creation stewardship, but also especially economic development for the poor around the world. And if you don't mind, I'd like to put in a little plug real quickly here for a short book that I've written called What Can Theology Say to Science About Global Warming? That is available from our online store. But frankly, for your listeners, I'd be glad to make a special offer as our way of saying thank you for a donation, which can be made at our website online, cornwallalliance.org. As our way of saying thank you when someone donates any amount, doesn't matter how small, we'll be glad to send a free copy of What Can Theology Say to Science About Global Warming. All they need to do is to ask for it. And in fact, they don't even have to remember the whole title. If they just say, What Can Theology Say? We'll know what they want, and we'll send them a free copy. So if they go to cornwallalliance.org, they can make a 100% tax-deductible donation and get a copy of that small book.
That's great. And our producer can go ahead and put that cornwallalliance.org periodically up here on the screen for us so people know where to get that. I want to start off before we actually get into maybe a topic in particular. I want you to really just talk about your organization, because when we were off camera, you know, you're like, hey, we've got, you know, all these different experts. Yeah. And the problem with the mainstream media is they're not going to go to you guys. They're going to go to the other side and, yes, and trumpet their agenda. So tell us first off about the Cornwall Alliance Stewardship for Creation. Talk to us about some of your team and what you do there.
Well, we've been working together for about 17 and a half years now. We're a network of just under 70 evangelical Christian scholars, pretty much all of them with PhDs. There are about a third who are natural scientists, physicists, chemists, geologists, meteorologists, climatologists, biologists, and so on. About a third are economists, some broad economics, but mostly specializing in either environmental or developmental economics, the economics of, you know, how do whole societies rise and stay out of poverty, and how can we bring the principles of economics to questions of environmental stewardship, so that when we're trying to take good care of this earth, we're doing it in a way that that makes the best mix of costs and benefits, because of course there's no such thing as a free lunch, and economists are always glad to remind people of that. So we have to realize anything that we want to do to try to improve the natural environment around us, there's going to be costs to that, and we need to balance those with benefits. And then the third group of scholars is theologians, philosophers, ethicists, ministry leaders. And we try to integrate the insights of all of those into answering basically the question, what does the dominion given to humanity in Genesis 1:28 properly look like? In Genesis 1:28, having created Adam and Eve after his own likeness, in his own image, male and female, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and everything that moves on the face of the earth. Well, you know, some people have seen that as somehow a sort of a license for humanity to just abuse and exploit the earth, the rape of the planet, so to speak. That's never been the understanding of any significant Jewish or Christian interpreters of that verse, but it's been accused by people like Lynn White Jr., the author of an article back in 1967 in Science magazine on the historical roots of our ecological crisis, in which he said that verse gave people license to think they can just abuse the earth. It doesn't. If we read that in context, when we understand that human beings are made in God's image, that means our dominion should be like his dominion. Our rule over the earth should reflect his. Well, what do we see in Genesis 1 about that? He started with nothing and got everything. So he's all about improving things, right? He brings light out of darkness. He brings order out of chaos. He brings life out of non-life. He brings great abundance and variety of life. And he tells each kind of life to be fruitful and multiply and fill its niche in the earth. So what we should be doing as our exercise of this godly dominion is to be working together lovingly under the moral commandments of God in the Ten Commandments to enhance the fruitfulness and the beauty and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and the benefit of our neighbors, so that we're really addressing the two great commandments, to love God and to love neighbor. So that's kind of what we do. We provide, we have a website, cornwallalliance.org, with hundreds and hundreds of articles on it and a number of major papers. We have a book that is in production right now with Regnery Publishing on climate change by, I believe it's 18 different authors, outstanding scholars. That's due out this fall. We have a YouTube channel, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and so on. And we also provide speakers for churches, schools, conferences, and expert witnesses for legislative committees of Congress and state legislatures when they invite.
And that's a lot of great information right there. Stuff that I didn't know. Just to hear about the number of scholars. I mean, we have a Christian school here because we refuse to send our children to public education. Yeah. Right. And then when they get out of sixth grade, we have a co-op. And I mean, your scholars are the people that I want training my children. I got four boys still, eight to 14. I'm scholar in some areas and not in others. Just to hear you have people that are economics. This is the thing that I think America has really lost. It is when America was founded, every institution of higher learning was basically a theological seminary. I mean, it was all a Christian worldview. Harvard. So, I mean, they trained our politicians. They trained our scientists. They trained our journalists. They trained our doctor. And everybody originated from a biblical or theological worldview. And now the disciplines have not only scattered in their own individual school, but they've become secularized. And the reason I love to have people on like you is you seem to be bringing all those people back together under one umbrella, which is just so encouraging.
Well, thanks very much. It's encouraging to me. I've always been an interdisciplinary scholar, meaning that I've had my fingers in all sorts of different pies, and sounds like you do too. That's a lot of fun. And really, I think it's the way we all should learn to think. Because when we get too highly specialized, we really can, we can be an expert in this or that, but ignorant of something else. And because of that, with the very best of intentions, we can embrace an idea, a policy, a practice, thinking that it's going to do good things. But the law of unintended consequences comes into play. And because of our lack of knowledge in another field, we wind up doing serious harm. So we try to bring together a lot of different scholars, and I find it a lot of fun to do this as well.
Yeah, and again, as a theologian, one of the things that I emphasize is the fivefold ministry. I think we've lost that in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Today we have pastors training pastors for the work of the ministry, and not the fivefold ministry training the saints for the work of the ministry. Yes. And that's one of our biggest thing is we become so kind of internally focused that we don't think economics, we don't think government, we don't think outside of really the four walls of our church anymore. And we need to, because what Paul said, I have not ceased giving you the whole counsel of God's word. God's word speaks on basically everything that we will run into, and a lot of that gets ignored.
The whole counsel of God, from the whole word of God to the whole people of God for the whole of life. That's what we should be doing. By the way, let me mention another resource. You may be familiar with this, John. The Coalition on Revival, started by my friend Dr. Jay Grimstead, who also before that started the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy. Coalition on Revival's website is reformation.net. That's reformation.net. And there, people can find, I believe it's 18 different, fairly brief, about 30 to 50 page long white papers on the application of biblical worldview to law, government, theology, politics, education, journalism, art, media, family, all aspects of my life, medicine. This is a tremendous resource for people who want to understand how to apply the Christian faith across the board in life. And if I may, one other as well. I mean, I know I'm president of the Cornwall Alliance, but there's another one that we should all be familiar with, and that is the Third Education Revolution, led by my friend Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, an Indian Christian theologian, philosopher, author of the marvelous book, The Book That Made Your World, about how the Bible shaped Western civilization. Vishal has a vision to bring all of education, K through PhD, back under the supervision of the church, the body of Christ. And it's very exciting stuff. So anybody can just look up Third Education Revolution and find out more about that. I'm delighted to be involved in that with Vishal. The aim is to use online education supervised by scholars in churches, tutors in churches, to go K through college and even beyond. And that, I think that's a great, great vision.
Cal, I'm writing as fast as you can talk. I mean, these are two books and two guests that I definitely want to get on the show. I was just talking to my boys on the way home, and usually I pick them up about 12:30, and we got a nice little drive on the way home, my 14 or my 12-year-old, and I told them, you know, about Peacemakers University, and we're wanting to put this online Bible college together. And I said, you know, even education's become a business. It's become a racket where you pay $50,000 a year to get fed poison for the most part. You know, and it's worthless. It really is. And I said, well, you know, what I did is, I mean, I've attended three different Bible colleges all the way up through my bachelor's, master's. And I said, it would be easy for me just to go in, sit down, record what that teacher is saying, have the book on a PDF and upload it. And that's almost like free education. I don't need to charge somebody $50,000 a year to do something that pretty much doesn't cost me anything anymore.
Yeah. What we need is parents to be taking full responsibility for the primary direction of the children's education, whether that's homeschooling or schooling through your private Christian school, whatever. But the parents need to take that responsibility according to Deuteronomy 6. And then they need to join hands together with people who bring expertise in various different subjects that the parents themselves don't have. But the key issue is always, are these people committed completely, 100%, to the authority of the scriptures? Because those are the word that brings life. And apart from that, there is no life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just did a course in our church ending last year called The Whole Duty of Man. And I said, here's what the Bible says our duty is. We have individual duties. We have duties as husbands and wife. We have duties as parents. We have duties as citizens. And I broke them all down into like an 8-week course. But that was the one thing I said. It is your duty as a parent to educate your children. It's not the schools. Right. It's not the youth pastors. It's your primary responsibility. Now, you can outsource that, but you better be very sure who you're outsourcing that to, because we're outsourcing our education to basically the devil's youth group at this point. So we need to rethink the education system.
Right. Right. Well, much of our work at the Cornwall Alliance focuses on sort of the 850-pound gorilla in the environmental scene, and that is climate change. And we are not climate deniers. I don't even know what it would be to be a climate denier. We're certainly not science deniers. We affirm science rooted in the biblical worldview that a rational God created a rational universe to be understood by creatures made in his rational image. So all of that is there. We even recognize that human activity probably does contribute to climate change. We probably have influenced some warming of the global climate, which, by the way, has been overwhelmingly beneficial. Far more good than harm comes from that. But we work at helping people to understand why human activity is not driving dangerous to catastrophic climate change. That is an existential threat to which we need to respond by spending trillions of dollars getting rid of fossil fuels and replacing them with wind and solar. That's just bad science, bad economics, bad engineering, everything else. And what it really would lead to is widespread poverty and widespread hunger. There is no way that we can feed 8 billion people without huge use of fossil fuels, our most abundant, affordable, reliable, dependable energy source. We cannot get away from those.
Yeah. And that was a great thing I saw on your website, which I was really encouraged to see, is where you guys talk about, you know, usually this type of alarmism is just a reason for increased government power. And that's the one thing we've all got to be very leery of. Cal, I want to tell you one thing I want to do is I want to set up a week where I just have your scholars on. I mean, whoever they are, I think that would be great to have like 10 people on dedicated for 1 week that's under your umbrella and giving us the wisdom that you guys have. We have about a minute left. Please tell the people where to find you.
CornwallAlliance.org. That's CornwallAlliance.org. They can subscribe to our newsletter, e-newsletter that comes out a couple times a week, always educational. They can also listen to our podcast called Created to Reign on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platforms people want to use. Created to Reign from the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation.
That is great. Yeah, I've got a course that I'm working on right now called Ruling and Reigning with Christ, Inheriting the Kingdom of God. So it sounds like we're on the same page. We'll be putting all of those on there. Cal, let's follow up. I definitely want to get some of these other experts on that you talked about. We'll follow up after the show sometime today, and we'll put that together.
We'll do it. Thanks all very right. much, and God bless.
God bless, brother. All right, we will be back after this break with a continual talk on education. See you in a minute.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. I hope you appreciated the first show or first segment, which was Dr. Beisner, who was with the Cornwall Alliance. They have a number of scholars and theologians and experts kind of under their umbrella. I look forward to working with them much more in the future. More likely, we're probably going to have an entire week where they allow them to bring their experts on. I'm reminded of a quote from R.C. Sproul. That said that if most congregations knew how ignorant their pastor was on a number of issues, they'd never darken their church. And that, not saying that to be mean, but when you become so focused on just one little message, when life is more than one little message, I mean, the Bible talks about government, it talks about science, it talks about creation and evolution. I mean, it talks about everything. And when we become so pigeonholed just maybe on the gospel of salvation message, we miss so much. We miss so much knowledge. We miss so much wisdom. And it's easy for us to be deceived when that in fact happens. So education is priority number one in my life. And that's why I always bring educators on there. You know, we're not discipling our children. We're not discipling our congregations. We're not educating them in a biblical worldview. So a lot of the people that I have on specialize in that. So our next guest is Carrie Woodruff. She is with the Foundation of American Christian Education. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
Well, I loved sitting here listening to you and Cal talking in the in-between show, too. It's just amazing to me sometimes that I book these guests, you know, a month out sometimes, and I don't have any idea of, you know, just whenever you can fit it into your schedule and how much the topic lines up on a particular show. It is simply amazing. For the people that don't know you, please tell us a little bit about you and then your organization.
Okay. So I am the Executive Vice President at the Foundation for American Christian Education. And the foundation was actually started in 1964 out of research that was done by Verna Hall and Rosalie Slater on the founding of America and where our liberty comes from. Our founders were concerned about the direction of our country. It actually in the late 50s, early 60s, started seeing a lot of communist influence and started seeing that our government was taking liberties with offering a lot more government control in a form of aid to people, helping people in a time of need. And I think that it started to make them want to look and research about our American liberty and wanting people to know where that came from, because they did not think we would be able to sustain it in America. They really foresaw where we're at today. They were very unusual ladies. Verna Hall was a researcher and a historian. She started documenting the Christian history of the Constitution and published her first volume, The Christian History of the Constitution, Christian Self-Government, and then Rosalie Slater was an educator. She actually was in her Stanford PhD program when they sent her to the Soviet Union to study their excellent education as a model for America. And she came back very disillusioned because she recognized that the communist system of education really took away from the individual person and the spirit of the individual. She saw the hopelessness and the lack of direction in the individual person. And so she started working with Verna Hall, but looking at it from the lens of education. And she saw that there was a method and a philosophy of education that was used in the early founding of America that formed biblical reasoning in a way that we have not seen since then, that allowed for our Constitution, that allowed for the form of government that we have in America and gives us this liberty. And so that became the focus and work of the foundation, to help parents, teachers, and educators recognize what a truly Christian form of government is that's rooted in biblical principles, that forms biblical reasoning in the individual, and that will sustain liberty in America.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've known what your organization does. I did not know the history of it, and I'm glad you said that, because when I wrote my book in 2006, Fighting the Next American Revolution, I came to the same conclusion when I did the research, was the government was basically growing beyond, you know, a lot of people think that the Great Depression was orchestrated in order to give the federal government more power. Whether it was or not, one thing that happened through the New Deal and FDR and everything, the federal government gave itself far more power under the guise of helping the people, which is what we always have to worry about. And I chronicle that in my book. So I'm glad to hear that your founders almost recognized that same thing and also understood that education is going to be the key.
Mm-hmm. Yes, education is the key. It really is going to be the foundational piece that shifts what's going on in this country. It's behind every single issue that we're facing today. And it is the great hope for the future of America, is through education and through giving our children a really biblical reasoning in Christian education that's going to change things in our culture today.
Now, I want to talk a little bit. I want people to get involved as much as they possibly can, and I'm looking to get a little bit more involved. On your website, if the producer can put that up, face.net, on the main page, one of the things is principled study groups, and this looks very good. Now, I noticed you use the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I tell people that all the time. Tell us about the principled study groups, what they are, and then, you know, maybe becoming a teacher or volunteer or whatever.
Yes. Can I just say, though, really quick, we are the publishers of the original Noah Webster's 1828.
Very good.
We knew that we had to understand language in order to understand the original language of the founding of America, that was words defined from a biblical perspective in order to protect and preserve our liberty in America. So we use it a great deal in our education, in our schools, and in homeschooling our students. But we do encourage study groups because we recognize that we are not educating just children K through 12. We're really educating several generations in America because we have lost that teaching that helps us to understand our history, our true history in America. And if we don't understand where we came from, we aren't going to know where to go going forward.
Right.
And so we are teaching the principles of liberty. We teach the Christian history of the Constitution. We teach renewing the mind for teaching and learning, which talks about principal approach education. Because principal approach education, even though we use it in schools and homeschooling children, it's really a way of thinking that can be applied in any area of life. And so we also work with pastors. We try to encourage pastors to use principal approach education, because when you start teaching people how to think according to biblical principles, it eliminates a lot of the confusion that we see today, where people are making decisions based more on emotion, or they're making decisions that take them away from what biblical truth would direct them to. And so we know that we are having to educate parents, grandparents, as well as children, and principled study groups is the way that we are reaching community by community to reseed the principles of liberty back into our way of thinking.
Yeah, and you guys are using what Cal kind of talked about a little bit. You know, it's so easy for us to reshape education and reach people because we don't need the brick and mortar foundations to show up. And we got YouTube, we got the internet, we got Zoom calls. I mean, there is so much that we can do just to revitalize education that it's not even funny. I think the good thing about COVID and the shutdown, the school shutdown, is people realized, one, what their kids were being taught, but two, or actually three things. One, homeschooling's not that hard, and a lot of people, you know, abandoned the public schools during that because they realized it wasn't as hard as they thought. But then also to know that people like you have been doing this work for years and years, you already have a lot of the resources that people need.
Yes, we do have many resources. We also have a big vision. So what happened about 5 years ago at the foundation, even though we had been working for many years, helping to establish schools, train teachers, publish curriculum for teachers to use and homeschoolers to use, but what we saw was that we were going to have to make a bigger effort across the country. We actually have schools all over the world, but we knew that in America, in order to really gain ground, because things were shifting so quickly in the wrong direction, that even many Christian schools were not teaching our children how to think, that they had been very much influenced by the progressive methods of education, that most of our teachers are coming out of colleges with progressive methods of education that don't produce biblical reasoning. And so we have a vision now for starting 50 principal approach teaching centers across the country. We have one here in Chesapeake, Virginia, that we use to train school leaders. We help people start schools. We have a leading schools mentoring program where we mentor school leaders. We train them in marketing and communication and fundraising and how to establish a board and how to train teachers and all the things that they need to establish a strong and lasting school across the country. We've got about 42 schools that are opening in the next year and a half that we have been working with over the last 2 years to get established. And our vision is for teaching centers, not just K through 12 schools, because we do recognize that we need to be teaching the whole community. And we want to have these teaching centers within driving distance of anywhere in the country so that people can get there, they can see it in action, they can be in the classroom, they can witness the teacher and the type of education that really engages the students in such a different way and that really brings out in the student what God has placed in them so that they are prepared for the things that God has for their life going forward. And we feel like this is a really important way that we can expand the work and we can make Christian education much more accessible. We do start homeschool co-ops in those areas and use the school as a resource for additional courses, maybe higher level courses, more advanced classes that the homeschoolers can have access to, as well as doing ongoing homeschooling and having the resources available that they would need.
Yeah, and that's such important stuff that you guys are doing there. When I'm looking at your principled study groups right there, you've got a whole bunch of upcoming events, and this is all the stuff that I've been focused on. The impact of the Johnson Amendment, renewing the mind, check your faith at the door. That's what we're told to do most of the time. Education is inherently religious. Are the public schools violating the wall? Here's a good one, April 3rd, that you guys are offering. Don't talk about politics and religion. That's something my father, who wasn't a born-again Christian, used to tell, son, two things you don't talk about is politics and religion. You just get into arguments. Those are the two most important things that you can talk about is politics and religion. So I think a lot of people have bought into that lie.
Yes, they have. So we do a online live principled study group we call Lessons in Liberty from our office that people can join in from anywhere around the country. This series goes from September through May, and it's just one Monday night a week. And right now, the whole series is on tearing down the wall between religion and politics. So we have different speakers every month speaking out on that topic. And if you go to our website, you can see how it's all broken down. There is a different focus each time, even though it's the same topic. And we'd welcome you to join us because this is an important piece in understanding about America, about what our churches need to be doing, how our churches need to be approaching things. You know, we all have been misguided when it comes to recognizing that topic. And so it's, I think, really important. But we also encourage study groups to form all over the country. We have about 56 right now. People have started them either in their church or in their home. And some people are doing them online. Some of them started during the COVID time, and they've all just become friends and continued meeting and gathering and reading books and studying together online. And this is important because really this is a grassroots effort that's going to happen community by community across the United States.
Yeah, and forgive me if they see me looking down because I'm putting all your events on my calendar here because I want to get on these and you know, because it's about continuing education. I mean, none of us know everything, and we always have to have the humility to be able to say I'm teachable. You know, if you can't have a teachable spirit and you know everything about everything, you're on the road to deception. Pretty much. So, I mean, you know, the only way to know if you've been deceived, I'm doing a course right now. We just started filming it called The 12 Lies, which are 12 lies pastors have bought into that keep them from being active in the government and in the society. And it's amazing that a lot of times they don't even want to hear it. It's like, oh, you know, we're only called to preach the gospel. No, you're called to preach the whole counsel of God's word. If you're only called to preach the gospel, you're an evangelist. You're not a pastor. You're not a teacher. You're not an apostle. You're an evangelist. So we need to expand the whole knowledge of God to every area of life and every aspect of life, which is why I believe it's kind of a divine providence that Cal was on in the first half and you're here in the second. So, yeah, the Monday night study looks like something I would love to do. I mean, I sit around on Monday nights a lot of times going, there's nothing to do after I milk the cow, right? So, I mean, instead of sitting in front of the same TV show or sitcom or whatever it is you do at night, man, start educating yourself on the things that really matter. Because you're right, Carrie, we're not only educating this generation, we're educating probably three generations before us, because Americanism, what Americanism really was as compared to communism, socialism, fascism, all, we've lost that. We don't teach it anymore. I mean, it used to be part of the Boy Scouts. It was really the foundation of America until everything got secularized.
Yes. I think what's important for people to understand is that there was an intentional effort in America to change how our country was run, to take us away from being the freest country in the world. And they used education as a political tool to accomplish that. And I want pastors to recognize this, because any kind of education that you're giving your children is going to form some kind of a worldview. If it's not Christian, then what? So with this idea that education is neutral and education is just about literacy is very deceptive, and it is taking us down the wrong path. Education is formative of the individual. It's forming their Christian character, hopefully, their Christian self-government, their Christian conscience, in order for us to sustain our liberty and continue to be the freest nation in the world. It is essential that we have that. And it is essential that our education is putting the Bible as the foundation of all learning, that our children are understanding the sovereignty of God in all of human life, whether we're studying math or science or literature or whatever it is, because that is really what's going to form the biblical worldview that is going to allow our young people to grow up and choose the right kind of people to put in office, who are going to protect God's laws, who are going to honor life, and who are going to do the right things. We aren't going to be fighting for every single election. When we educate our young people in God's word and in biblical principles, they are already going to be choosing that. They are going to be doing the right things that are going to not only protect and preserve America and American liberty, but they're also going to be doing things that are honoring of God and God's laws, which is where we need America to get back to.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. It's something that I've never really articulated clearly that I think you did when we talk about literacy, because really only the first X number of years, K through whatever, fifth grade, is about literacy, learning to read, learning to write, learning to spell. From that point on, it's what are you being taught? What are you being taught about science? What are you being taught about history? What are you being taught about ethics? They already know how to read, write, and everything else. And that's really where it starts to become dangerous, because there's nothing in a public school, as far as I'm concerned, about science, about history, that is real, that is true. It's all fables. It's all lies. Especially to create good little communists and good little atheists. There is absolutely nothing. Like I said, a guest said the other day on the show, the public education is the devil's youth group. And there is no denying that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You can't mention the name of Christ in a public school without getting fired or suspended or anything else. So I'm working with public school exit also, as a big mass exodus of trying to get people out of the public schools. But I mean, ultimately, again, it's the parents' responsibility for what their child's being taught.
Right. It's the parents' responsibility, and it needs to be something that the pastors are on board with, and that the pastors are really, I would urge pastors to really look at what the Bible has to say about education and just start preaching that. You don't even necessarily have to get up at the pulpit and say, you know, don't get this kind of education, don't get this kind of education. What they need to be doing is teaching parents what the Bible says about education, because it's very, very clear how we're supposed to be educating our children. And we need pastors to be in support of that. Christian education is essential for Christian families. It's an essential piece. It is, Noah Webster says, it's more important than anything else, the education of our youth. And it is true. And if we don't win pastors over, if we don't get the church should be absolutely behind Christian education, because that's what the church should be.
Yeah.
But yet they're not applying it when it comes to our children.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we need our pastors thinking this way. We need parents to understand what education should be. It's not the most important thing in the world that you have, you know, 25 different levels of math in high school. What is the most important thing is that we're forming young people to prepare them for what Christ has for their life. They have their whole life to learn content, but we only have a certain number of years to form and shape their character, their conscience, and their Christian self-government. And this is should be the most important thing that we do in education.
There's no doubt about that. We got a couple, about a minute left. Please tell the people where to find you, Carrie.
Yes, you can find us at face.net. That's FACE.net. You can go on there and look up our Lessons in Liberty and our study groups. If you contact our office, we'll send you a study group packet, tells you exactly how to get a study group started in your area. We have all kinds of resources. We have a full curriculum, K through 12 curriculum, that teaches from the principal approach perspective. We have all kinds of resources on America's Christian history. We have Facebook pages, all kinds of social media. Happy for you to reach out. We're happy to help get you started in really giving your children a true, authentic Christian education.
Amen, Carrie. Hey, God bless you. I appreciate all you guys are doing, and we look forward to promoting and supporting your efforts as much as we can.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate
all
what
right.
you're doing as well.
Thank you. God bless. All right. From now on, I will be doing my Friday shows from now on. So I look forward to seeing everybody else tomorrow. God bless.
Nearly all the vitamins.